Usually at All Souls, we preach exegetically through Scripture, starting with a passage and unpacking what that passage has to say to us, because we think that is the best way to regularly sit ourselves underneath God's Word. But occasionally, we preach on particular topics, and that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks, starting with the topic and then gathering together what Scripture has to say from right across the Bible. The title for the series, as Charlie said, is All Through the Storm. And our topic for this evening is anxiety and resilience. And right at the outset, I want us to acknowledge that that word anxiety covers a vast breadth of human experiences. Anxiety can mean momentary nerves. It can mean heightened unease in the face of sustained trouble. Or it can mean crippling lifelong habits of the heart that have at this point become untethered from the circumstances that originally formed them. Anxiety can press in on us through the troubles that we face, or it can flood up inside us without any obvious cause or warning. It might live in our hearts like weeds that we can't seem to kill, or thorns that we've given up fighting, or seeds that we are actively nurturing and sowing. The fact is, our world is riddled with troubles, and our emotions don't always do what we want them to, which can mean anxiety and resilience. Well, that can be a very painful topic for some of us to speak about, and a very, very hard topic to apply. So, given the breadth and the weight of what we're talking about this evening, I want to begin by asking you a 500-year-old question. It's a question from a document that helped set the course of Protestant Christianity since it was written in 1563, and it is this. What is your biggest comfort in life? There are so many ways that I could answer this question. Filter coffee, small spaces full of books, the Gentle Rain playlist on Spotify, hamsters, every song that Taylor Swift has ever released. And here's a slightly different one for you. Videos of people repairing shoes on YouTube. If you have never searched that, you are in for a treat this week. But if we're talking my biggest comfort in life, then I'd have to say that the 20th of December is right up there near the top. The day when I am in charge. The day when no one can tell me what to do. My birthday. Something you should know about me, in the deepest, most definitive parts of who I am an introvert. Whereas Katie, my wife, less so. For those of you who know about the Myers-Briggs personality test, her four letters are E-E-E-E. Here's how the conversation went in 2019. It was the year we had moved to London. I could take the day off if you wanted, said Katie, the extrovert who enjoys the company of other people. Now, don't worry about it. There's no need, said I, the introvert who is triggered by social situations. It's really no problem, said she, and she had love in her eyes. I would prefer to be alone, said I, and my eyes were full of fear. Eventually, she gave in because she's weak and cares what I think of her, whereas I know no shame. And friends, I had the time of my life. I woke up and no one had any expectations of me. I went to Caravan Fitzrovia just round the corner and sat alone by myself doing nothing. I took a book with me, which I did not even read because I didn't have to. I was a free man and I was at peace. But the problem for me sitting in Caravan Fitzrovia on the 20th of December 2019 was that day I kept getting sudden chest pains. Since birth, I've had a condition called aortic stenosis. Essentially, the aortic valve has literally one job, and mine is not doing it. Without medical help, my heart, gurgles like a toddler with a frappuccino. I should have died when I was 7. Praise the Lord for the NHS. But here's what that's meant for me. I have known since childhood that I cannot find peace by looking inside myself. My heart is the problem, not the solution. It struggles enough with basic biology. Asking it to add emotional resilience to its to-do list may well push it over the edge. I cannot find peace by looking inside. I imagine that many of my friends in London, if they were to answer that 500-year-old question, they may well say something like this. What is my biggest comfort in life? That I am my own. I belong body and soul to myself, and I can take whatever life has to throw at me. As someone who will need repeated major heart surgery throughout my life, I just do not think that is a good answer. And I imagine that after the last 2 years, most people in this room are on the same page as me. Because if we're honest, this world is more full of trouble than many of us were led to believe. Let's unpack a little bit about why that answer doesn't work by stating the problem as bluntly as possible. Bluntly put, if my peace of mind depends on me, it will fail me at the very moment I need it most. I used to think that peace of mind was a fragile thing. I used to think you had to handle peace with care. Don't overthink it or it will scurry off. Keep it away from your doubts or it might get offended. Don't let it know about science and definitely don't let it read the news. Peace is the sort of substance that evaporates on contact with question marks and facts. You know those magic eye optical illusions that you pretended you could do when you were at school? Just a ton of random colours and shapes that looked like sicked up Tang fastics. That is what I thought that peace of mind was like. You'd look slightly past it while crossing your eyes, and suddenly you'd see a spaceship flying out of the page, or if you're like me, pretend to see a spaceship flying out of the page. Peace of mind is there, maybe, but only if you can turn off your inner cynic and go slightly cross-eyed. The rest of the time, you just have to lie. Oh yeah, peace of mind, it's great, isn't it? I used to think you had to handle peace with care, but I don't think that anymore. And here are two reasons why. First, my emotions will not always do what I want them to, even if I wrap them up very, very carefully. Friends, our emotions are not the same thing as our thoughts, are they? I cannot simply reason myself into a better emotional state. Our emotions live in our bodies, and just like our bodies, sometimes they do things without us asking them to, or without us even wanting them to. It might be for our protection, it might be a learned reaction to past trauma, or it might simply be that we live in a fallen world and our bodies are also broken. My emotions do not always do what I want them to. So no matter how carefully I bubble wrap my peace or fence up my heart, that is not necessarily going to keep anxiety out. It's as possible for anxiety to flood up within me as it is to burst in from the outside against me. That's the first reason. Here's the second reason. If I can't stamp on my peace of mind, then ultimately it is useless to me. Actually, I want to say it even more strongly than that. If I can't stamp on my peace of mind, then it is worse than useless to me. If I can't throw my full weight against my peace of mind without it breaking, then it will fail me in the very moment that I need it most, when I'm falling apart and I cannot pull myself together. I'll be sitting at my dining room table, my phone will buzz twice, and as I lose my grip on my peace of mind will let me fall. Resilience has become a big buzzword in higher education, and with really good reason. Resilience is the ability to recover from injury and loss, and having a degree of resilience is essential for weathering a storm-tossed world like ours. But if my resilience depends on me, it will only ever be as strong as I am. If my resilience needs me to be strong, what will happen when I am weak? If my resilience needs me to be brave, what will happen when I'm not? If my resilience needs me to pull myself together, what is going to happen when I can't? You cannot magic eye peace of mind when you're ugly crying. If your resilience depends on you, it will fail as soon as you do. And that will be the very moment you need it most. So I want to extend what might sound like a slightly weird invitation for a talk about anxiety, I want to invite you to stamp on what makes you resilient. If it cracks, well, now ultimately you know it's worthless to you. Can your resilience deal with everything that life has to throw at you? Can it take the weight of a Monday morning, an overflowing inbox, multiplying energy bills, an emptying bank balance, and never enough sleep? Could it suffer a shock phone call from your doctor or from your boss about your parents or about your best friend from school? Can your resilience cope with your own emotional volatility, a rush of panic, or a flood of anxiety that doesn't seem to have any obvious cause? Friends, this world is full of troubles, and it has a lot that it can throw at you. Your body is full of emotions, and they're just not always going to do what you want them to. Will the thing that makes you resilient hold together under the weight of all the things that would break you? Stamp on what makes you resilient. If it cracks under the weight, know that it will fail you in the very moment that you need it most. That's the problem. Now I want you to consider this possibility. What if you didn't have to guard your peace because your peace was guarding you instead? Imagine a peace that held together when you were falling apart. A peace that was strong and solid and near, regardless of what emotions were doing from one moment to the next in your heart. A peace that you could collapse on and curl up in. A peace that could face what you couldn't. That would be a source of resilience that is stronger than I am. And that is the promise of the good news of Jesus. Did you see what Paul said to the Philippians? Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. How? How, Paul? How am I supposed to do that? How is that possible? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. On what grounds? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. Verse 6. How? How is that possible? By committing everything to the Lord in prayer on the grounds of verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Christian, do not be anxious. Why? Because the peace of God is stronger than you are, and it will guard your heart. Here is the key to resilient living from Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God is stronger than you are and bigger than your biggest thoughts and feelings. The peace that is yours in Christ can cope with what you cannot even imagine, and it is guarding you. So Christian, do not be anxious. And at this point, as we consider this gospel command, I want to say two things really, really clearly for us. Firstly, the gospel command to not be anxious is not a condemnation of anxious people, and especially not a condemnation of those with clinical anxiety. This verse, I want to say, no more condemns anxious people than Paul's command to rejoice a few verses earlier condemns grieving people. In a room like this, some of us will have become addicted to patterns of anxious thoughts. And in that horrible knot, there will be desires that we need to repent of. There will be habits that we need to resist. And there will be idols that we need to tear down. We should not nurture anxiety, but our bodies do not always do what we want them to. The Psalms are full of troubled thoughts expressed to the Lord. And John's gospel that we're looking at in One Students records that Jesus was, quote, troubled in spirit on the very same evening that he told his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. There are some troubles that we actively nurture, and we need to pull those up by their roots. but weeds and thorns will pop up in even the best kept garden. Jesus does not rid us of anxiety by condemning us for it, but by comforting us in it. There will be no more tears in heaven. And the reason for that is not because they're banned on entry. It's because Jesus will have wiped away every single one of them. This is comfort, not condemnation. And second, the comfort of the gospel is not an alternative to taking practical steps, let alone seeking medical help. Because it isn't just our souls that need comforting and nurturing, is it? It's our bodies as well. This is a fallen world, and the emotions that live in our fallen bodies will not always do what we want them to. Weeds and thorns will pop up in even the best kept garden, but like good gardeners, we should still be proactive in nurturing our bodies as well as our souls. Medical help for clinical anxiety, therapies that treat causes as well as triggers, these are good gifts of God for those who need them. Getting proper sleep, eating healthily, setting boundaries to prevent overworking or overstimulation, resisting the temptation to self-medicate with addictive substances or behaviors, and finding people that we can be honest with. Anxiety makes every single one of these harder to do, but each one is important for nurturing a resilient body. And the comfort of the gospel is not an alternative to that. But here is what the gospel is. It is the deepest and the greatest and ultimately the only comfort that can hold up under the weight of all the things that will break you and me. This promise of peace that's stronger than you is the key, the only key to truly resilient living. And it is only when our lives are anchored in this comfort that we will know resilience beyond our own strength. So I want to highlight for us two anchor points that we can use to help us patiently and routinely and habitually cling to the gospel in the midst of anxiety. These are the anchor points that my mum used to point me to when I became anxious as a teenager. And they are anchor points for us to cling to as we encourage others to do the same, whether the anxiety is our own or the anxiety is our friends or our teenagers or somebody else's. Whether it is momentary, sporadic, or lifelong, whether it is a secret we keep or a diagnosis we can't seem to shake. You can find them in John chapters 13 to 16, the very chapters in which Jesus is troubled in spirit and is preparing his disciples for what will trouble them. I'm not going to be fully unpacking these verses, but I'm going to give you the references on the screen so that you can chase up those references in your own time. First anchor point, John chapter 16, verse 33. There is nothing that this world could throw at you that Jesus hasn't already overcome for you. In this world, you will have trouble, says Jesus, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We stood condemned, empty of holiness and empty of hope. But he stepped forward to bear the weight that would have unendingly crushed us, the burden that we could not bear ourselves. And friends, he drained it dry. Don't get it twisted. Jesus was not broken down into the grave, mighty in life, but ultimately defeated in death. Nobody, no power of hell, no power of earth, nor even the power of heaven could defeat Jesus into death. Nobody could take Jesus's life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. With everything that stood against us crushing down on him, his life was not taken from him. Earth's rulers could not lash his life from him. Hell's fury could not steal his life from him. Not even the outpoured wrath of God could defeat Jesus into death. John 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished. with that, he gave up his spirit. As the Scottish theologian Hugh Martin once observed, what is the glory of the cross if not this? That with all the curses of heaven and all the curses of earth and hell crushing down upon him, his love did not falter or flinch, that he outlasted and outlived them all, and he was not defeated into dying. He did not die until he gave himself in death. Hell's fury, exhausted. Earth's curse, broken. And heaven's justice, satisfied. The reason that you can have such confidence that the peace of the gospel can take whatever life has to throw at you is that there is nothing that this world could throw at you that Jesus hasn't already overcome for you at the cross. This is peace you can stamp on. This is peace that can take your weight. The peace that guards your heart is peace that's been through hell for you without flinching. The first anchor point for resilient living is what Jesus has already done for us. And here's the second anchor point. It is Jesus that gets the last word over your life. Do not let your hearts be troubled, says Jesus in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I will come back and take you to be with me. Christian, Jesus hasn't told us what will happen tomorrow, but he has told us what will happen forever. Injury and loss and death do not get the last word over your life. Your to-do list and the bills that you're too scared to open, your credit card and the bullying you face every Monday at school, these things do not get the last word over your life. Loneliness and tiredness, panic and despair, none of these things get the last word over your life, and neither does anxiety. Jesus does. Christian, the last word over your life does not belong to anxiety or to any of the things that might make you anxious. The last word over your life belongs to Jesus. And the word he has for you is everlasting, unrelenting love. He is going to come back. And when he does, he is going to wrap his arms around you and he is never going to let you go. One of the hard things about finding peace during the pandemic, I think at least, has been not knowing what the future might hold. But friends, we do know what our future holds. The sunshine of God's everlasting love, eye to eye, face to face, without end. Any shadow that blocks our view of that is only temporary. The shadows will pass, the tears will be wiped away, and the sunshine of God's love will never stop shining on our faces. Two anchors for resilient living: Jesus' death in the past and his return in the future. Friends, when we have those two great anchors in place, we can take whatever might happen in between them. No matter how low it takes me, even if it flattens me, even if it floods me, even if it breaks my heart clean in half, I do not need to be able to cope with it all in one go when I've got those two anchors in place. God doesn't give me my lifetime supply of grace in bulk to budget out as I see fit. But with those two great anchors in place, we can learn to patiently depend on him moment by moment. Maybe you don't know whether you can make it to the end of this month. That's okay. Can you make it to the end of this week? Or the end of today? Or until tomorrow lunchtime? God will give you what you need when tomorrow comes. Depend on him for today and let tomorrow worry about itself. Come back with me as we draw to a close to that 500-year-old question, because some of you may have already realized the authors actually put the question more strongly than I let on. Here's what they actually wrote. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And let's be brutally honest, if our answer to that question is, I can take whatever life has to throw at me, we are kidding ourselves. Life has an awful lot it can throw at me, and my emotions will not always do what I want them to. Here's what the authors of that question wrote 500 years ago, summing up the beating heart of the Christian faith. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the powers of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Friends, that is the sort of peace that will hold together when I don't. I still have a heart condition. My body is broken, and so are all the emotions that live within it. But my frail heart doesn't guard my peace, and my hope is not in my own strength. It's that the God who made me still holds me. It's that there is nothing that this world could throw at me that Jesus has not already overcome for me. And it's that the last word over my life belongs to him. That is the sort of peace that I can stamp on. That is the sort of resilience that can resurrect you. That is the sort of comfort you can collapse on, or curl up in, or ugly cry at. Friends, in this world, we will have many troubles, but do not be afraid. Jesus has overcome the world. He is returning, and he will never let us go. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this cursed world has so much it can throw at us. Our emotions don't always do what we want them to, and sometimes we are very anxious. We pray, comfort us by your Spirit. Anchor us to these mighty truths of your gospel, that there is nothing that this world could throw at me that you haven't overcome for me, and that the last word over each of our lives belongs to you. Lord God, we give ourselves to you, body and soul. Guard us, we pray. Hold us, we pray. And come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.